good morning. I want to add a personal word of welcome to each and every one that's gathered in this morning. You know, you have a lot to be thankful for with the pastor that you have. He knew that it would be best to book me for a week when you had an extra hour in bed, because it might be hard to listen to. But we trust indeed that as we're gathered around God's word today, that we'll indeed be blessed. I just want to thank Denver for leading today and for your pastor for his invitation to come. And I just want to extend a word of thanks. You know who you are this morning. You know, Denver mentioned this morning that I was good in coming and helping you out during your time of vacancy. Well, as they say, the shoe is now on the other foot. We find ourselves vacant, and we very much appreciate the help of the brethren here in Lurgan that come up and down the road quite regularly. And even, well, it's good to have one of our own back today, although I have missed our brother Aaron this morning. But anyway, I want to read with you this morning, please, in Luke's Gospel and in chapter 19. Luke's Gospel and chapter 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and we'll read together, please, from verse number 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to them, be thou over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him that pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And we do indeed trust that God will bless the public reading of his word this morning. We have read this parable this morning from Luke's Gospel concerning the 10 pounds. A similar parable to the 10 talents of Matthew's Gospel, but yet each has a different meaning and teaches us a different lesson. In this parable of the pounds, we see each servant given the same amount, which probably represents the message of the Gospel. So you and me here this morning, friends, we are to take the Gospel and we're to be like the Apostle Paul. We're to deliver that which we have also received. We've learned from our reading this morning about these 10 servants who each were given this sum of money by the nobleman, or by their lord ere he took his journey into the far country. And you know, this was quite a significant amount that they were given. They reckon that it was equivalent to 3 months' wages for a laboring man. And you know, just like the message of the Gospel again, God has seen fit to put the earth and the treasure in the earthen vessel. And so we need to be faithful with that. We see that as their Lord returns, he then calls each of these servants one by one. And we're brought three reports. Two of these reports are positive reports, but sadly one of them is a negative report. You know, the first servant brought 10 pounds more, the second 5 pounds more, and each were rewarded in 10 cities and in 5 cities, as we read in our passage this morning. You know, dear friends, this morning the reward for faithful work is always more work. You might find that strange, but that is truly what I believe this morning. The reward will be more work. You know, the third report tells us that at least one of the 10 servants, he didn't obey his master, and as a result, he even lost the original pound that his master had given him. It's a basic principle of Christian life that wasted opportunity means loss of reward, possibly even the loss of the privilege of future service for him. You know, as we take a look at this morning, I just want to draw your attention to one phrase that we find in our reading today. It'll be nothing strange for Nigel to come down the M1 with a phrase or a few phrases to preach from here in Lurgan. You know, you will remember one of the last times I was here, I just heard somebody saying under their breath, how could we forget? But you know, one of the last times we were here, we were taken up and we thought concerning the Savior's words. And we're going to consider some more of the Savior's words this morning. But you'll remember that we thought of commanding words where the Savior said, follow me. We considered calming words, that storm scene where we see the Savior that he says, peace, be still. We thought of comforting words where the Savior could say, it is I, be not afraid. We thought of challenging words where the Savior could say to Peter, come. We went on to think concerning commissioning words where we indeed have been commanded to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel. We thought indeed of conquering words where the Savior cried from Calvary that it is finished. And then we concluded on that occasion by thinking concerning certain words where the Savior said in John 14 that I will come again. You know, I really just want to ask you the question this morning. How are we spending our time? How are we spending our time? Strange that we should take up a subject like this on a Lord's Day when we had an extra hour. I wonder how we spent the extra hour. But I just want to ask you today, how are we occupying ourselves in the light of his return? As I have said, that which is certain, because he has said that I will come again. You know, many times in life, we're given a to-do list. Maybe you were given one yesterday, men, when your wife went up the street around about the shops, and it's always easier to stay at home and do a few chores around the house than it is to go around the town. Or maybe on a Monday morning, you'll get an email from your boss into your inbox, and there'll be a list of tasks of things that you need to complete throughout the hours of the week that follows. But you know, whenever I stop to consider this spiritually, I very quickly realized that our time can be divided into two. How we spend our time with regards to those that are within, and how we spend our time with regards to those that are without. You know, I consider those that are within as those that are saved by the grace of God. Maybe even those that meet in this place, that are even gathered with us here this morning. Those that you rub shoulders with week in, week out. Maybe you rub shoulders with them as you speak to them in the car park. Maybe you rub shoulders with them as you come in through the porch. Or maybe you brush past them as you make your way into the seat. But I wonder this morning, what way is it that we're brushing shoulders with our brothers in Christ in this place? Are we brushing shoulders with them as we lean down and as we put our shoulder to the plow, as we seek indeed to push the work forward for the Lord here in Lurgan? You know, I'm sure you've often heard the saying that there's no I in team. But you know, I want to challenge you this morning, and I want to remind you that there indeed is a whole lot of I's in the word team. If you were to take the word team this morning and to write it up on the back wall in capital letters, it would take 13 eyes to make a team. It would take 2 to make the T, 4 to make the E, 3 to make the A, and 4 to make the M. But I wonder this morning, I wonder as we're possibly part of the team here in Lurgan, I wonder what part of the team is it that you want to be today? You know, I would imagine if we were to ask around the rows this morning, there are plenty that would be happy to be the top one up on top of the T, up high for everyone to see. Maybe you'd be happy enough to be the top one on the E, or maybe even the middle one. But yet, dear friends, today, there's none of us that would really want to be the bottom one on the E. At a push, we maybe even wouldn't want to be the horizontal one on the A, one that's being held up by two others. I wonder, as we come to this place today, I wonder, are we filled with our own self-importance? I wonder, is it all about me? No, I think this morning that we as the people of God could learn a lot from the rugby scrum. You know, there's rugby being played at the moment around the world, both men's and ladies. But I wonder today, could we learn something from the rugby scrum? Maybe some will have to go home today and Google this to see actually what it is. But you know, dear friends, this morning, we could learn this morning from the rugby scrum quite a few lessons. We can see from the rugby scrum that they're all facing in the one direction. We could see that they're all pushing in the one direction. We could see that they all have the one goal. We could see that when one falls down, they either try to keep them up or else they all fall together. You know, dear friends, today they face the enemy head on. And not only that, but no matter about the dirt, the blood, the sweat and the tears, they have their arm around about each other. You know, as I thought about this today, as I thought about how we are occupying until he come, I wonder today, are we working here in Lurgan as a team? You know, as I thought about that last phrase that I've used concerning the one another, I was reminded that throughout the scriptures we are reminded concerning one another on many's and many's an occasion. We could consider in Hebrews chapter 10, where the writer speaks there of consider one another, or the word is encourage one another. You know, encouraging, it's the act of inspiring one another to have renewed courage, renewed spirit, or renewed hope. I wonder, dear friend, today, are you a letter writer? Are you a card writer? Are you a text sender? I wonder today, maybe is it something more practical? I wonder, are you one of these people, and when you meet them on the footpath, their face just explodes into a smile? I wonder, are you one of those people that can just go past someone, and without saying anything, you can touch them on the shoulder on your way by, just to encourage them? Or maybe even today, you're a hug giver. I wonder, dear friends, today, are we trying our best in the time that is between? Are we trying our best to encourage one another? You know, someone has said, flatter me and I will not believe you. Criticize me and I will not like you. Ignore me and I will not forgive you. But encourage me and I will never forget you. Dr. David Jeremiah said in The Power of Encouragement, he said, some of the greatest success stories of history have followed a word of encouragement from a loved one or a trusted friend. Wonder, does any of this apply to you this morning? When life is tiring, when you're struggling with your sin, when family members aren't saved, when bills aren't paid, when school is difficult, when work is exhausting, when your health is failing, when your loved ones are hurting, when the future is unsure, I wonder, are we discouraged this morning? So let us come together, dear friends, and let us encourage one another. I wonder, will we be encouraging till he come? You know, our title for the message this morning is just Occupy Till He Come. My dear friends, can I challenge you this morning? Are we encouraging each other till he come? You know, there's things that we start in life. You know, I told a story at youth a couple of Friday nights ago. It's amazing what you say whenever your back's against the wall. It got till 20 past eight and the preacher hadn't turned up. So it was panic stations. What are we going to talk about? And you know, whenever I got home, I didn't realize anything about it, but I made a comment that I had a wee while back, and as you can see, it's not going very well, but I had downloaded one of these fitness apps that tells you what you've ate and all of these things. But I made comment to it, and I was speaking to the young people about their phones and about this and about that and the other thing. You know, I lasted with this app for about 3 days. It still pings at me all the time. But what I want to ask you today is, the encouraging one another, will you take it on board today? How long will it last for? Will you be like me with the old fitness app? I need to delete it because it's torturing me. It texts me all the time. But I wonder, how are we getting on? Ian Wilson came to Cook, and he spoke to us concerning the fruits of the Spirit for a few nights. And the last night that he was there, he spoke about faithfulness. The word faith, he reckoned it was the word faithfulness that it should have been rendered. But I wonder, dear friends, how are we with our faithfulness? With the day in, day out. Because, you know, we all can take fads. You know, when it comes to the start of the year again, maybe I might re-download that app, and it might last till about the 3rd of January. But I wonder, dear friends, will we be faithful? Will we encourage one another till he come? Paul could write to the church at Galatians regarding serving one another. I wonder, dear friends, will we serve one another for a lock of weeks and then we'll just let it fall off? Or will we serve one another till he come? I wonder, dear friends, as he wrote to the church at Ephesus concerning forgiving one another, is it something that after the preacher has preached on it, it'll last for a day or two and then it's forgot about? Or will we continue to forgive one another until he come? Edifying one another is another one that he spoke to the church at Thessalonica about. Paul spoke about strife and vainglory in Philippians. You know, strife, it's pulling down. Vainglory is putting oneself up, as D.L. Moody put it. But I wonder, dear friends, this morning, will we all come together today? Will we all seek to encourage one another? Will we all seek to edify one another? And could we take our motto today from Nehemiah 2:18? And could we all say today, let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build. I wonder, dear friends, this morning, are we forbearing one another? Are we praying for one another? Or again, is this something that, you know, it nearly just runs off our tongue so easily? You meet someone and you have a 2-minute conversation with them and you say to them, yes, I'll remember you in prayer. And I wonder how often we actually feel to do that. And I'm delivering to you a message this morning, friends, that I have been turning over and turning over in my mind time and time and time again. You know, so often with regards to us, it's so easy when we hear things, we lift the phone. Friends, this morning, don't lift the phone. Take these matters to the throne. Dear friends, this morning, don't spread it in the locality, but spread it before the Lord. And we encourage you today that we should be praying one for another. You know, Paul spoke about praying time and time and time again. We see in Thessalonians, he says, always making mention of you in my prayers. In Philippians, always in every prayer of mine. When he spoke to Timothy, there he said that it was day and night. I wonder, dear friends, just the same as the rest of these that we've briefly mentioned, I wonder, will we be praying for one another until he come? Washing one another's feet. John 13 and 14. You know, when we think about washing one another's feet, I wonder, would we be happy to do it for everyone today? Or maybe you just would be happy enough to do it for maybe the pastor, maybe some of the elders, maybe even at a push, some of the deacons. But I wonder, dear friends, would we not need to be doing it for everyone today? You know, when we look at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, in John 13, I want you to consider briefly this morning whose feet the Savior was washing. You know, he washed Peter's feet. Peter was one who would deny. He washed Judas's feet, one who would betray. He washed Thomas's feet, one who indeed would doubt. And you know, dear friends, this morning he washed the disciples' feet collectively. And what does it say concerning them? It says that they all forsook him and fled. You know, I wonder, dear friends, this morning, is it some humble service that the Lord is asking you to take up this morning? To find yourself sitting at a level that's below everyone else? I wonder, will you accept this role this morning? And will you take up the towel and the basin today? Or maybe, dear friend, you're here this morning and you'd be interested in getting involved in things within the church. But maybe you're holding out for something greater. Maybe you think that there's some position or some place that would be better for you. And maybe that's what you're holding out for today. You know, dear friends, lastly and very quickly as we move on, I want to touch on loving one another. You know, this phrase is repeated over and over and over again throughout the Word of God. You know, it must highlight to us this morning its importance. You know, we preach a message of love to the lost, but yet we as the people of God, a lot of the time it's something that we have lost. Indeed, someone has said that the army of God is the only army that shoots their wounded. I wonder how our loving is today. You know, the Word of God makes it clear as well, the things that we aren't to love. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, we need to be careful how we're getting on. You know, the last thing that we would want would be to turn out like the church at Ephesus. What did it say concerning them? Well, it backs home my point today about continuing these things on, because it says concerning them, sadly, that they had left their first love. I wonder, will we love one another till he come? You know, a new commandment, he went on to say, I give unto you that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye might love one another. You know, just as we move on, and as we start to consider those that are without this morning, I wonder, dear friend, will you hone in and will you take on board verse 35 before we get started? What does it say? It says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. You know, so in short this morning, this should be something that's clearly visible amongst us as the people of God. It should be to such an extent that those that are without can clearly see what is going on within. That those that are without, that they would know that we are his disciples. You know, when I consider those that are without, I was really thinking of those that are out of Christ today, those that have out of Christ and without a Savior. Those of our families, those of our friends, and maybe even of our neighbors. You know, when we consider our little phrase this morning, occupy till I come. The word occupy, it means to busy oneself or to trade. You know, dear friends, this morning as the people of God, we have a purpose. The word till, it would remind us not of a purpose, but it would tell us that there's a period. And surely, dear friends, this message of the gospel that we have to proclaim, it's a message that's only proclaimed during the day of grace, which will end when he comes. The little word I, that tells us that we're a person. It tells us as well that we have a privilege to serve him in this way. And the word come, it just reminds us again concerning that promise that the Savior one day could break the blue and call us to rise to meet him. You know, as we look at this phrase this morning, as I've said, I just wanted to use it as our title and as a springboard for our message today. But you know, I want you to think briefly this morning of some help, some little guides that you could use this morning from other people in the Word of God. Some things that you can take away today. Some things that are easy to remember. You know, if we were to ask Paul today, how should I occupy myself till he come? What would he tell you? Well, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, preach the word. There's our declaration. He went on and he spoke to the church of Thessalonica, and he didn't say to them to preach the word, but he said to pray without ceasing. That's our supplication. When he wrote to the church at Corinth, he spoke there concerning remembrance of me. That was the commemoration. Again, the church of Thessalonica were reminded, considering about patiently waiting for the Savior, the anticipation. And then again, the church of Colossae, they were told to continue in prayer, our continuation. You know, if we were to go to Peter today, and if we were to ask Peter for some advice, Peter, how is it that I should occupy my time till he come? What would Peter tell us today? Well, Peter would tell us to live unto righteousness, 1 Peter 2:24. That would remind us of our living. Love the brethren, 1 Peter 2:17. That's not our living, but that's our loving. And then in 1 Peter 4 and 7, we see that we're to watch on to prayer. That's not our living or our loving, but that's our looking. I wonder, dear friends, this morning, will we take these on board today? Occupy till I come. No, this morning, as we consider briefly what Paul has said, to preach the word. I wonder how we're getting on. Are we doing our best to reach the lost? Good to hear that at 2 o'clock on Saturday you'll be up the street in outreach. I wonder, dear friend, will you be there? As I have said, will you be there to rub shoulders with the other brethren and sisters here as you put your shoulder to the plough? I wonder, will you be here this evening as we gather for the preaching of the gospel? Will you be doing your best to encourage your friends and your neighbors to come in to hear words whereby they might be saved? That's our preaching. Then we see our praying. He said, pray without ceasing. You know, I wonder, are we praying for the lost? It's great to be here this morning for a good, lively prayer meeting. We thank God for it. And we need every prayer that has been offered today, I can assure you. But I wonder, dear friends, today, are we praying not only here in the prayer meetings before the services, but I wonder, will you be here on Thursday night? I wonder, will you be praying at home? That's where all the power comes from, friends. You know, I said it previously, and I was challenged about it at the door. It's quite strange that I'm going to mention this on a week when this particular thing has become extinct. But you know, I said, and our brother Colin mentioned it when he was up in Cook, how often is it that the prayer meeting, it's the worst attended meeting in the church? You know, when we look at the building and all that we have, you know, it's just like some flashy Jaguar. But you know, if we were to go and pull the bonnet, it's just a wee 1 liter Fiesta engine that there is. I was challenged at the door by a young brother. He says to me, and what's wrong with a Ford Fiesta? He obviously was driving one. But dear friends, I trust that we'll do our best to be here tonight. Not only for the preaching of the gospel, but that we'll be having to stand in the prayer meeting because there'll be no room to sit. That we might indeed lay hold on God, that he might move, that he might speak, and that he might indeed save a soul even in Lurgan this evening. I wonder, dear friends, what about it? Preach the word, pray without ceasing, patiently waiting. I wonder, how is it that we're patiently waiting? How is it that we're spending our time? You know, if you're like me, sometimes your phone sends you a wee message on a Monday morning. Do you know what it tells you? It tells you how much time you spent on your phone the week before. I want to challenge us all today. You know, we'd nearly take a panic attack if we'd lost where the phone was. There's times I wonder why, because every time it rings, it's only bad news. Can you go here? Can you go there? Can you do this? Can you do that? But yet, dear friends, today, what about it? I wonder if we were getting a little text message from the Lord. I wonder how much time have we spent for Him. You know, I was thinking about it recently. When we consider our giving, we talk about tithing. I wonder, dear friends, how are we tithing with our time? 2.4 hours of every day, are we giving that to Him? Maybe on the Lord's Day. But Nigel, you don't understand how busy I am, and this needs done, and that needs done, and the other thing needs done. And I totally understand that. But dear friends, today we maybe need to take a look at our priorities. You know, someone has said concerning the church that we have many organizers but few agonizers. We have many payers and players but we have few prayers. We have many singers but few clingers. We have lots of pastors but few wrestlers. We have many fears but we have few tears. We have much fashion but we have little passion. We have many interferers and few intercessors. We have many fighters, but we have few writers. You know, from these statements, we can see clearly that we no longer have so many that are here for the cause. We've become so casual. You know, if nothing else comes up, I'll maybe nip to the prayer meeting. Casual in our attendance, or maybe the lack of it. Casual in maybe the way we come in our dress. Forgetting who it is that we come to meet with. But dear friends, this morning, I want to challenge you today. And I want to ask you this. If we put as little time into our marriage, or if we put as little time into our job, as we put into the assembly of the Lord and the Lord's work, I wonder, dear friends, this morning, would we find ourselves single? Would we find ourselves unemployed? Or would we find ourselves both? I'm going to ask you again. How are you spending your time today? You know, I was told, my daughter told me concerning a girl that she shared a house with when she was at university. She was one of these rather, shall we say, laid-back characters. She said to my daughter on more than one occasion, she says, if tomorrow's not the due date, today's not the due date. Wonder, dear friends, is that true of us with regards to the things of the church? If it doesn't really need to be done, Oxford, it'll do it again. How often is that the attitude that we seem to take? You know, as I try to get this tied up in 5 minutes, I wonder, dear friends, if we were to be standing tomorrow around an open grave and it was yours or mine, I wonder how is it that we would be thought of? I wonder what comments would be made. You know, I'm going to give you a list of things that I think we all would like to be said about us. But I wonder this morning how many of them are true. Are we this morning a man or a woman who honored the Son of God, who obeyed the Word of God, who sought the face of God, who was involved in the work of God, who encouraged the people of God, and that was burdened for the lost or those without God? I wonder how many of those things would be true about you or about me. You know, my young boy started a part-time job a few years back. And I'm going to challenge you with the words of a man who I've never met. But this is what he said to my young boy on his second or third day in the job. He says, are you working hard or are you hardly working? What is it this morning? You know, dear friends, I totally understand that I've had conversations with people in the past who were associated with big churches. You know, I'm going to challenge you today. Sometimes when you're a part of a big church, you can slip into that little rut whereby, oh, somebody else will do that. Oh, such and such will take care of that. Wonder, dear friends, this morning, what about the team? Are you going to put your eye into the team? I wonder this morning, as we have moved into autumn, as all the works of the church are opened up another time, I wonder, has there been something niggling away in the back of your head that I should maybe be getting involved in youth work? I could maybe be getting involved in the Good News Club. I wonder, dear friends, this morning, is this word of challenge to you? I wonder, will you speak to some of the men this morning and say, you know, I would maybe like to get involved in this. I'd maybe like to get involved in that. And I trust that today, that we indeed will take the words upon our lips of Nehemiah 2 and 18. And today it would be said of you or of I, let us rise up and build. You know, sometimes it's so hard to keep things going, to keep the wheels turning. It's so easy for things to be pulled down. It's more difficult to build things up. You know, dear friends, in our service for Him, I wonder what it is that we're mining today. Is it the gold, the silver, and the precious stones? Or are we just using what we have left over? Is it just the wood, the hay, and the stubble today? I trust that as I draw my remarks to a close, as I challenge you one more time concerning Occupy Till I Come, what are you doing within the church today? You know, there's maybe someone today, and as you look around the pews today, they're not here. Maybe this afternoon, you could make a phone call. Maybe this afternoon, you could send a little text. Maybe this afternoon, you could go and chop their door and encourage them and tell them that we missed them out this morning. All of these lists of one another's are things that each of us could be doing for our fellow brothers and sisters in the fellowship. I wonder, are we doing it today? But furthermore, dear friends, that's those that are within. What about those that are without? Those that are still in their sins. What are we doing to reach them today? By the same token, you could maybe go and chop a few doors this afternoon. Try and encourage people to come out onto the sound of the gospel. You know, those 151 souls ushered out into God's great eternity and soul just yesterday. It's not that long from there were a number that were ushered out into eternity over in Donegal. And dear friends, what are we doing to reach those that are on our doorsteps? Those that live with us at home? Those that we indeed live beside? I trust that today that we've been challenged by the word of God today. It's been a challenge to my heart. Challenge to my heart in maybe a slightly different way. That I asked myself the question the other day, you're involved in quite a few things. But I wonder how many of those things are you doing right? I wonder how many of those things, the tasks are completed, that you could stand back and say, yes, I made a good job of that. Or is the case that we just rush over this because we have to go to do this, and then we just have to do a patch-up job on that because we need to go to do something else? Dear friends, today, may the Lord challenge your heart as He has challenged my with these four simple words. Occupy till I come. I trust indeed that God will bless His word. We're going to sing from the screen, How I Love the Voice of Jesus on the Cross of Calvary. Our Father, we bow in thy presence at the end of our coming together, and we do indeed come again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do indeed thank and praise thee again for this, the Lord's Day, and for the privilege that we have to meet with the people of God another time around the open word of God. And we do indeed give thee thanks for our gathering today. And we do indeed pray, our Father, that the words that have been spoken, that our Father, they might indeed be a challenge to some under the sound of our voice even today. Now, our Father, as we there'll be those that would leave us at this point, we pray, our Father, that they would take them each to their homes in safety. For those of us, our Father, that remain around the table, we do indeed pray that we might have that sweet remembrance of him today, for we do indeed ask it in our Saviour's worthy and indeed precious name. Amen. Whether we're shaking hands or not.
Yeah.
All right. Peter, good to see you. Good to see you. All right.
Hi.
Morning, dear.
Okay.
Good morning. See you. All right. Good to see you.